Adam, welcome, bro. Of
Thanks for having me.
course, man. Of course. I'm excited for our chat today. I was just telling you off air. I've followed you for a handful of years now, but I just recently reached out to get you on the podcast and you accepted, which is phenomenal. But when I was back in like 2021, I was just starting my business and I was creating content for the first time. I remember coming across your page. I don't know in what context or if someone reposted something or if you were on like my home feed or whatever Instagram looked like 4 years ago, because it's very different than it is today. But I remember seeing one of your videos and I was taken back in a good way in terms of like how blunt and honest and just like, how little feelings you had associated in that video. And those are all compliments, because in a time when I was trying to please other people and I was trying to create content, thinking about how other people would receive that and how that might, get my message across, you were the very opposite. And in the last 3, 4 years, the people who I appreciate the most and honestly find refreshing whenever I see their content is the people who just, like yourself, just kind of go in very little emotion, talking about facts. Maybe you swear every once in a while. And those are things that I've actually really drawn inspiration from as it comes to creating content and like making videos and doing my education style these days as well. So I credit you and I appreciate, you and all the work you and everyone else have done in terms of like, showing that there's different ways to, present information and to talk about things in a scientific, but also in a way that can be very blunt and very to the point. And for those reasons, I've really appreciated your content and I followed you for, a long time now. So it's going to be a fun chat today, but I just wanted to give you a shout out because I felt like you were doing that before it was cool in a sense. So I appreciate you and in all the stuff that you've kind of secretly done for me, even though, it's it's kind of been behind the scenes. But I'm excited for this chat today because I really want to talk about food tracking, and it's something that you've done a lot of talking about on your page and stuff that I think is very pertinent to people's lives right now. And I think we live in a time where more and more people are thinking about tracking and there's more information around food tracking. And I think this would just be a good time to chat about some of those things. But before we do any of that, just tell me about you, because selfishly, I don't know shit about you. And tell me about just a little backstory, how you got into fitness, coaching, all this stuff. Just kind of your little podcast intro story.
Yeah, well, I got into fitness when I was in high school. Well, actually, no, probably in middle school. I was maybe like 12 because I was fat. I was a fat kid and I was always bullied for being fat. I didn't play sports like we talked about earlier. And it was because my mom was working full time and just like couldn't, just didn't have the time to take me to like a practice or like just to have spend all the time on the she didn't have the time that those sports require. So I wasn't in any sports, didn't I wasn't active at all, didn't even just couldn't identify with the other kids who were actually active. And so I was reading and learning, and I was smart, so that I had that. But I was just like a nerd that like sat down all day and ate and didn't know anything about nutrition, ate chips, Burger King, like just really whatever I wanted, and I was just fat. So I got into fitness when I was about 12, like I said, and it was because I just was tired of it and I wanted to lose weight, but I did it all in the wrong way. I did just as much activity, cardio, obviously, as I could. Didn't eat. I just ate as little as I could. I did everything wrong. And my mom condoned it because she also didn't have the background in nutrition either. So she was like, okay, great, this is working. Just keep doing more of it. And so I was on like ridiculous diets. At one point, I was eating cereal for 3 meals a day, like Special K, just cardboard, basically. And of course, I lost the weight, but I wasn't happy any still because I was skinny fat. I had no muscle. I got into high school, and I still felt fat, even though I really wasn't. I look at pictures, and I wasn't, but I didn't have any muscle. So I started the gym when I was, I think, 16, 15 or 16, and so did everything wrong there, but at least I was building muscle and, had some kind of frame. Still wasn't happy though because it wasn't really working. I was doing everything wrong. I started playing soccer, did track. Like I told you earlier, did those very briefly, did it for 1 year, mostly for the social aspect and just to say that I was an athlete at some point. And then, yeah, continued with the gym, got into college, and I majored in exercise science and nutrition, and I did those both at the same double major at the same time, which was way too much. But I worked out through college. I don't know if I was even still working out properly at that point, but much better than I was. And then I graduated. I moved to Montreal. So I'm originally from New Mexico. So I got my degree in New Mexico. I moved to Montreal to do my master's in exercise science. Did the entire program, all the classes, wrote my thesis proposal, defended the proposal, did all the research. And then once it came time to analyze the data, I was like, I don't even want to do this. I hate research. I hate everything about this like part of the field. Because I'm not someone who can sit in a like dark lab and just analyze data all day. So I did everything and then I just quit. So I don't have a master's in exercise science. I could very well have. It would have taken me another 6 months or a year maybe. But then I started personal training people in person, and then I didn't really like it, to be honest. I don't know if I ever really liked it, because I felt like I was just there counting people's reps and talking about their weekend. Which was perfectly fine, but people just wanted the idea of a trainer rather than actually working out. So sometimes we would just be talking because they wouldn't shut up and they wouldn't start the workout. So I mean, I was happy to take their money, but at the same time, I wanted them to get results because it really didn't help me from a marketing standpoint to have all these clients that just talked and didn't do anything. So 2020 came. I went online because I had to. And I didn't know anything about business. I didn't know anything about social media because I had Instagram, but I wasn't really like, I it was at that point where I was just posting shirtless selfies and I was getting 2,000 likes and it was very easy. So I think at that point I had like 12,000 followers or something just from that. But I didn't know anything about social media. I had never made a video or my voice didn't exist online. And I was all of a sudden just making random videos trying to build a following on TikTok. And I remember that I had 60, like 60 followers or something. And I posted a video just saying random facts, random nutrition facts, like maybe 10 or 15 facts. And I was just like moving around my apartment, terrible lighting, terrible sound, didn't have a microphone. And I just posted it. And the next day I had 6,000 followers and it just all started from there. So then I continued and still am doing the same thing today.
What a story, dude. Holy shit. There's a lot there to kind of unpack or things that I have questions about, but I want to validate you in the sense of like getting your master's degree. 'Cause I got my master's in sports nutrition. And I remember at the time I was looking at different programs and I was like, okay, thesis space or non-thesis space? 'Cause non-thesis space has kind of slowly started to emerge and become a little more popular in the last few years for people who don't want to do the research, but who want to further their education. And I think as dietitians, like we have to have a quote unquote master's degree, I think by this year or last year to be able to hold our credentials as a dietitian, which I have a lot of thoughts around, but I wanted to get ahead of that and just do it. And I remember looking, I'm like, man, I don't think I'm the research type. I don't think I could go in a fucking lab and like yourself, look at statistics. Like I'll take all the statistics class, but the actual implementation of that, fuck that, you know? So I was just nodding my head in agreement with you on that front. 'Cause I felt like that was a path that I was not ready for, nor was it something I wanted to do. And for those reasons, like it would have been a waste of time in certain contexts. So it's honestly admiring to see somebody get that far. Most people or a lot of people be like, all right, fuck it, I'm just gonna grind it out or whatever. But you know, your decision to just kind of pivot and just move on and not have things, you know, go astray because of that. I honestly, yeah, that's kind of it's kind of nice to hear those stories every once in a while too.
Yeah, I really like I tried to force it. It was a 2-year program and I got a full scholarship, so I didn't pay for the first 2 years, but I forced it for another like 2 or th even th maybe even 3 years. I think I could have had another bachelor at that point. So but I was paying out of pocket for that. It wasn't that much, but still wasn't cheap. But yeah, I forced it for those years, and there were like actually, for the last year, I don't think I did anything because it was all like on my own. I was done with the classes and like the research. So, but the supervisor, I never really got like we just didn't vibe. So he didn't really want to help me, and I didn't want to do the work on my own and have it be completely wrong and have to redo it. So, yeah, I just I should have canceled. I mean, I should have quit bef like when I was feeling that way, which was almost at the very beginning.
For sure, man. I've heard that a lot, especially with like PhD programs. Like if you don't have the right advisor or somebody that you kind of report to, it's never gonna work, especially with how much time and money and just things at stake, man. It's like, yeah, if you don't like a professor or something, like that's enough for people to completely abandon that or just completely change routes. So
I wouldn't have used it anyway. I,
yeah.
for what I'm doing today, I don't even need a degree at all. I just need a certification. So.
Dude, totally. 'Cause honestly, I find, in the fitness space, there's kind of this movement around like, okay, if you have credentials, then you are respected, or you have the right to communicate about health and nutrition education and all this shit. And for some reason, that's never sat with me super well. And even being a dietitian and getting in the online space, you see how it's like, yeah, like credentials don't matter as much in this online social setting. Maybe as much as like, obviously, you're gonna go work in a hospital. Like you have to have all the work done to be able to hold those positions. But when it comes to social media, it's kind of the Wild West. And I honestly think that is a pro in certain contexts. Yes, there's a bunch of just charlatans and misguided people and people out there just like sharing their own anecdote that really don't understand or don't have the background of some of these things to actually, in advise around health and fitness topics. But there are people in your situation where it's like maybe you don't have all the fancy credentials after your name, but you have a ton of experience. You have your own personal experience. You have a bunch of the science base around it. And it's like just because you don't have a master's, or whatever after your name, like doesn't mean that someone like you can't do incredible work and do all these things in the fitness space. And honestly enough, like I have had a personal training coach and nutrition coach, and none of them have been dietitians. No disrespect to dietitians, but a lot of people aren't trained in some of these other things. And you see a lot of great, amazing accounts, but there's a lot of accounts like yourself and other people where it's like, yeah, I'm going to get some of my health information from a former bodybuilder who went through his own experience as a kid and now works with people and is kind of immersed in the research and really does a good job with like, those are people that a lot of people can learn from. And we need people like you and me and other people out there that are, again, trying to put a lot of effort into this, but keep in mind that science is still very important in this, and we can't just rely on personal anecdotes all the time.
Yeah, I don't think the credentials themselves are that important, but I do think it's important to have a background, like a formal education of some kind. Like I know that TNF, for example, he doesn't have a degree in exercise science or like anything health related. I'm not sure what it is. It's something like unrelated, like computer science or something. It's not that, but but he's one of the most recognized and well respected in the industry. You just need to actually know what you're talking about. And there are tons of bad dietitians. Like I think that the bad dietitians all have social media. So it seems like the good ones, like the really good ones, don't even have a following at all. And then like there's a handful of science-based ones, and then the rest of them are no better than the Herbalife or like the grifters online. They did all that schooling just to be peddling the same things that stay-at-home moms with barely a high school diploma are also doing. So I've never understood that, because I went through the same program, just didn't go on to the master's. So I don't know.
Totally, dude. Totally. Yeah, I agree. I think, on the spectrum of like health advisors or content creators on Instagram, it's like you have people who have the credentials, who maybe have the information, who have the quote unquote respect. And then you have the other people who maybe don't have the credentials, but they can make up for that in a ton of different other things and how they communicate. And it's just, I've found that people put way too much weight sometimes in what a credential might say behind someone's name. And you look at someone like even Paul Saladino, for example, and you see doctor, whatever people are calling themselves these days. And it's just, if anything, it's just created more confusion and a little bit more distrust, because you have doctors arguing against each other. You have dietitians arguing against each other. You have macro coaches and cortisol mamas all arguing against each other. And it's funny to see where people plant their flag. And I think for you, you've planted your flag in a way that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like, hey, here's my experience. Here are things that I know can help people. Here's things that I want to try and teach people. So the time that they have following me or the time that I get to work with them, I leave them with habits, skills, just an appreciation for how the game is being played or how they need to kind of adapt, their lifestyle and habits and mindset, all these things around the rules of the game, the rules being like thermodynamics and, understanding energy balance and understanding like how to be satiated and, why we need to get movement in and lift and all these things, right? Not just being like a bodybuilders. And I think other people plant their flags in different camps and it's very tribalistic. And it's just something that, again, can be doing more harm in a lot of contexts than actual good. But one thing I wanted to ask you about is, you said you were fat as a kid and growing up and you tried all these things. Where did the motivation come to change that? Like, was that an internal thing? Was it an external thing? Where did that inspiration get drawn from? And you mentioned your mom, she's like, oh, it's working, like keep doing your thing or whatever. Like, was there any family struggles around weights? Was there any communication around that as a kid or anything? Or was this just like a pursuit that you had on your own that you made these independent decisions outside of maybe what your family was doing at the time? I'm just curious how that experience went for you.
Yeah, I mean, at that time there wasn't social media, so which is crazy. I think my first social media was MySpace in high school. But there was nothing really online but bodybuilding.com forums, and YouTube obviously existed, but there was people weren't really posting useful information, so I was just mostly using it for entertainment. So I really didn't have anything to go off of in the first place, but I did use bodybuilding.com forums a lot. I followed people like Chris Gethin or like Steve Cook, and I just did their programs because I was like, they look good. I want to be like them, which I think is probably what helped because I at least had some kind of structure. But the very early years where I was doing the Special K diet, where I was eating literally only Special K with skim milk, which couldn't have been any more than 1,000 calories a day. That's being very generous. And sometimes I would have chips for 2 bags of chips for lunch, and that's it. So I mean, obviously I was in a calorie deficit, but not in a great one. My family didn't help at all, not because they weren't supportive, but because they just didn't know what they were doing. It wasn't their field. They had no reason to know about it because they didn't need to lose weight. On my mom's side, there were a couple like like family members who could stand to lose weight, but they also didn't know what they were talking about. They gave horrible advice. So really, it was not because of anybody else. It was just in spite of because I don't think anything in my life really was helping me. It was just that I was, trying a bunch of things and hoping that something worked. But the motivation really was the bullying. Like I was looking back on it, it was not as bad as it seemed at the time. I was never like physically bullied or anything, but it was more like the incessant comments and like bullying and stuff, and just like kids are mean anyway. But I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be well liked, and I wanted to be like the popular guys, which were all the guys who played sports. And I would never be like that because I didn't know how to even I had never played team sports before, so that was not going to happen. So I kind of just had to take it into my own hands. I really just hammered cardio, and after school, I would first thing turn on TV, get on the treadmill, and just do as much as I could.
Yeah, dude, it's interesting. I feel like men for some reason share a lot of similarities in terms of like how they get excited or motivated or how they start something. And you use the word in spite. And I wasn't thinking about that, but I think that plays out perfectly here because it's like it's in spite of something. It's in spite of them doing things differently than their family or them being sick that they can't run up and down a fucking soccer field as well as some of the other kids, right? Or in your situation, bullying or just like doing it because they want something and they realize they can't have it now. And in order to get to where they need to be, something needs to change. And those are the motivations that a lot of people can kind of just start to take action on stuff. Maybe it's the wrong action in certain contexts or things that, and not wrong, but just things that aren't going to get them to where they want to be as quickly as they'd like. But it is interesting for me to see, especially as men, how it's just like there are these external stimuluses that lead to that motivation versus, I have a lot of female clients. I don't work predominantly with women, but it's probably like a 70-30 split of women to men that I work with. And like a lot of motivation for them at a young age is inspiration from their family, or like, what mom was doing maybe at the time or what their friend group was saying, and them kind of like falling into that, type of philosophy just because in proximity they were so close to people that were doing things that that's what they picked up on. And then they start to develop those tendencies and mindsets from that. And men, I feel like, and not to say that nobody can experience these things differently, but men, it's like, yeah, there's things happening that you wish were different that you try and take action. And then before you know it, you go 3, 4 years of, eating Special K on and off, and you do cardio, and then you finally find bodybuilding.com and you start lifting weights and you track macros. And then before you know it, 10 years later, they're in a very different spot. But I don't know if you've noticed that tendency, but I can resonate with that story a lot with myself as well. Just like doing random shit in high school, or I asked a question on my check-in form last week of, when was the first time that you acknowledged that like your body was a thing, or body image was a thing? And my experience was like, hey, when I was in middle school and I made the basketball team, it was like the skinniest kids got the 0, 1, 2, 3 numbers, and the middle kids got the, 5 through 8 or 9, and then the really big kids got 10 to 20 or whatever it was, And I remember being labeled and identified as like a skinny kid, and that's always stuck with me, and that's always the thing that's kind of been in the back of my mind as I'm lifting and as I go through a bulking phase. It's like I've always been this skinny guy, where it's like, yeah, maybe that is or isn't true, but it's just been something that's been labeled. And I just find it fascinating that people have so many different experiences where they're bullied, or they were put into this bucket, or whether it was true or not, they just had these thoughts and these beliefs around what it was that they were going through at the time. And like that, motivation is enough to just like make them want to do something different.
Yeah, no, I remember this girl. She had to have been 5'10", maybe 6 foot in middle school. And she was like, because I for the like I think it was the second year of middle school that I lost all the weight. So after summer I came back and I like lost, it wasn't that much, maybe like 30, 20, 30 pounds. But she saw me and she was like, wow, you lost a lot of weight. You're still fat, but and I always remember that because I was like that. Looking back on it, she had to have been super insecure because all the other girls were like these little petite girls, and she's like this 6 foot giraffe. And I'm like, okay, well, she was obviously having some problems. So I think if there are any like younger people watching this, just know that it's not you. It's always them.
Totally. What's crazy though is like, I think when a lot of people think back to this, it's like we're talking 12, 11, 10 years old where people are noticing this stuff and making changes and stuff. And that's insane. And I honestly, I can't really relate to that now because it's so different. And again, like you said, social media wasn't really a thing, and you were doing this kind of independently of that. I was similar. Like Facebook didn't really come around to like 8th grade for me, which I feel like we're both dating ourselves here, but like Instagram, all that stuff became a little more popular in high school. But now there's, fucking 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds making, or with, TikToks and making a ton of money, and all these other people are seeing it. And it's just, I feel like we're in a very different landscape right now. But I think what I want to drive home is like how soon in life, like how quickly in life a lot of us pick up on this, and how deep rooted a lot of this shit is. And a lot of the decisions that we make are just, subconscious decisions that are being made based on these past traumas and these past experiences that people have. That again, if we, it's not looking back on that as like feeling guilty or shameful or anything, but just appreciating that it's there and making decisions in different headspaces going forward is something that, us as coaches need to continue to communicate and just help people appreciate the fact that that's okay, but we have to do things like differently this time.
Yeah, definitely. That's part of the reason why I started. Well, the reason why I started online is because I had to, but part of the reason why I started the way that I did what that I did is because I wanted to show people that it doesn't have to be complicated and you don't have to do everything. You can just do something and it's going to elicit some sort of response. The whole point of my accounts is that I want it to be as simple as possible while still getting the result. And you don't have to know everything about how to run a business, but you can still start a business and just figure it out as you go along. So that was the whole point.
Totally, dude. Totally. But we're almost 30 minutes in here. Before I ask you like a question that I wanted to ask you today, tell me about your experience tracking, because I think that can help lay the foundation of certain things. Like when did you start that? What was the motivation behind that? How did that process evolve over time, if at all? And how do you use it today? I think the thing with tracking is something I want to talk about is like people think it's this lifelong commitment to something, which it doesn't have to be. Like there are people who maybe do that, but our relationship with tracking can absolutely change over time. But I'm curious about your evolution with that and with that tool and how you've used that and how it's helped you. And just tell me about your experience, because I think that will flow nicely into some of these questions I have for you.
So I never understand why people have such a hesitation or like just an aversion to tracking, because they'll weigh themselves every single day and obsess with it, obsess about it, but they won't track their food. So it doesn't make any sense to me at all. But I first started tracking using MyFitnessPal back in the day. I think I was watching Matt Ogis and like those guys, which is also funny because one day Matt Ogis just DM'd me and I was like, what? So I was watching those guys and I was seeing how they would just simply track and they could eat whatever they wanted. And that was just such a foreign concept to me. And I was like, how are these guys, someone especially like Matt Ogis, who has consistently had the body that pretty much every guy would kill to have. And he's eating, well, actually he's a bad example because he really doesn't veer off that much, but I've seen him eat like donuts and stuff. But, people like Ryan, I don't remember what his last name is. He does like the he was like the OG if it fits your macros recipe guy. But I would see him doing the same thing, and I was like, how are they able to do this? So I started doing it. Again, not sure that I was doing anything correctly. I think I didn't even have a digital scale. I think I found one that was left over from like generations of roommates ago, and it was like one of those like. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just probably an old school scale is, I guess, what we'll call it. But it was probably not even calibrated correctly either. But at least there was something. Again, you need to just try something and then iterate as you go along. But that's how I started. Then I eventually bought a digital scale, which is very cheap. Everyone just go on Amazon and buy one. And yeah, that's how I started. But I think it's important to track, or at least attempt to track, because otherwise you have no idea what you're doing. You have absolutely no idea what you're putting in your body, and that's when people are convinced that they're in a calorie deficit and not losing weight, and there's something wrong with them, or that it's their hormones, or that they're genetically different. When they're not, they just are simply eating too much and not realizing it.
Totally. And my next question is like, you kind of alluded to, and we've kind of talked around it, but like, why do you think most people should track? And I say most people again, because there's certain populations or people where maybe, yeah, I don't know about you, but maybe I get a client and, you know, they've had experience tracking in the past. You know, a lot of people have tracked or tried to, or maybe have done a program where there has been some form of documentation or tracking. God forbid it be like Loom or, you know, Weight Watchers. And even there's some utility with some of the information that some of those programs might be, you know, showing. Or even if you just opened up MyFitnessPal and started tracking stuff, like a lot of people come to me at least in a place where it's like, hey, I've started tracking and it didn't work for me. Or I started tracking and I developed a worse relationship with food. Or I started tracking and it was overwhelming and it was something that, you know, I figured I could do something else and just kind of get around it. And long story short, it's like people have these experiences tracking, and it's usually a net negative in their experience, right? And I have my reasons of why I think that is, but I'm curious for someone sitting here and you're making an argument towards like, hey, I acknowledged you've tracked in the past, but we can talk about how to do it differently this time. But what are some things that people might not be thinking about that they can get from tracking, things that we want people to appreciate and helping people appreciate that this is a means to a place. It's not a fucking destination. I think people get that mixed up a lot of times, but like, how can we sit here and I'll do it with you, because I think tracking food can be the most life-changing experience for a lot of people when done in the right headspace for people. But how can we get people to get to this place where it's like, hey, food tracking is something that we need to do to just help you get to where you want to be and use it as a tool to help you appreciate all the stuff that maybe you can't see for yourself right now. But what would be your argument to somebody sitting here who maybe will throw the context of like trying to lose weight or wants to do some form of body recomposition, who wants to look better naked, but also wants to have just more flexibility and freedom in their life? When they look at this tool, it could be very restrictive for a lot of people. But how do we get them on board and more curious about this? Because again, I think it could be life-changing for people. But what would your like, if you're on the podium or stand at a fucking, you know, court case right now, it's like, what's your argument to be made around why people would benefit from food tracking for a period of time?
I can pull out Macro Factor right now and track my entire day and the time it takes you to watch a 1 minute TikTok video, for example. Some people are out here watching TikTok series and like 5 minute videos. I can't do that. I don't have the attention span, and I can track my entire day in less time than it takes to do that. So first of all, if you're trying to get around tracking, or you had a bad experience with tracking, it's simply because you did it poorly, or you're lazy, or both. That's just what it is. So the small population that should not be tracking are people with previous eating disorders, or honestly, I can't even think of another example. Those are the people that shouldn't be doing it.
Same.
But I mean, if they're well enough far enough into recovery, maybe they could start doing it. So really, it's a very small percentage of the population that should not even try. And if you had a bad experience in the past, I really do think it's because you tried your hand at it without doing any research, or even trying to learn how to do it properly. Didn't like it. You just simply didn't like it. It's not because you had a bad experience, and then you just stopped. Again, you don't need to really know much. You just need to be able to read a scale, and then translate that information to Macro Factor or whatever app you use. Macro Factor specifically, not to plug the, it's not even my app, I don't care. But you can dictate. So if you don't want to transfer it all and type it all, you can dictate it. So with these apps and like AI, things are getting easier and easier. There's really no excuse, and I don't feel sorry for anyone who had a bad experience with tracking, to be completely honest. It's just so easy.
Agreed. And I'm happy you bring up the eating disorder piece because that was something in the back of my mind where, yeah, maybe. And again, I'll add this context if that's not the population I specifically work with. Like I've been technically trained in certain areas of it, but it's just not a population that I feel like I like serving or help serving well. And I refer to other people. But people who have, again, had disordered eating patterns, which is still different than eating disorders if someone has had a clinical diagnosis. And I get that a lot of this stuff gets, undocumented or people don't get diagnosis where maybe they could fit the criteria for some of these things. But long story short, even in those populations, food tracking could be used as a great tool in certain contexts. For example, like you have somebody who has, maybe been binge eating or who has tried intermittent fasting or they were super low carb for a long time. And it's like, yeah, hey, you know what? Instead of tracking all macros, instead of tracking calories, maybe we track protein, but it's like, how can we get you to 100 grams of carbs a day? And what does that look like? And when you can get people to appreciate the fact that they can have a fucking bagel with breakfast in the morning and they can start seeing how all of this stuff fits in and how, like, again, calories work and how we can start to rearrange what we're eating and how much we're eating throughout the day and throughout the course of the week. I find that most people, again, there's a asterisk here because people are working with a coach going through this. But again, a huge benefit of working with somebody who, knows a little bit about what the fuck they're talking about. But even those contexts where people have had bad relationships with eating in the past, it's like, or tracking food in the past, doing it a little differently this time or thinking about it in a different light or approaching it a little bit differently, again, I think it'd be very life-changing. And it's hard because I do want to respect the fact that people do have bad experience and negative experiences with it. But like, let's not let that be the reason why you never try that again or be an excuse as to why that's not something you could do anymore. When in reality, there's 10 different ways that you could use that tool to actually learn and get to a place where you're enjoying what you're doing or you're getting to a place where you can see your life without ever tracking food again. I think those possibilities exist, but people can't see that for themselves because they close themselves off into this box or this corner because they had one negative experience doing it, or they had a year where they were doing it and it just didn't work for them. And then they're just looking for other stuff. But that's how people I find go down the rabbit hole of following Cortisol Mama and they follow Paul Saladino and then they follow the carnivore camps and they start doing so much random shit and they become more confused than if we actually spent time learning about nutrition and macros and how much energy you should be consuming and what a deficit means and what eating at maintenance calorie means. Like those are things that we need to learn because once you can appreciate those thoughts, you can weed through a ton of the fucking BS that you see on social media these days.
That's why I don't think that we should be validating these types of feelings, because their feelings, sorry, are not valid. The facts are valid. So when you have like a cortisol influencer who is confirming these people's bias, that's how they scam people, and that's how they sell. I don't entertain these types of of feelings because I know that it's just them not trying. I didn't have a good experience in chemistry, but I just wasn't good at it because I didn't try. So I'm just self-aware like that. And I really think that most people are delusional and they have these just delusional thoughts that things are not working for them when really they just didn't even try.
Totally. Yeah, I love the self-awareness piece because I think when you could be brutally honest with yourself, and I think that's the thing that tracking does for people, is like it's an objective thing that can kind of, confirm or deny a lot of the lies that they might be telling themselves. And I think the biggest thing is like there's a lot of personal responsibility that comes into something like tracking or trying to create new habits or documenting the things and the actions that they're doing throughout the course of the day. Without that, it's very easy to just place the blame on other things. Like it's easier to look at your Instagram feed and have someone saying, "Do you have a puffy face and low energy and low sex drive?" It's like it's probably your cortisol, just listing a bunch of arbitrary shit. And it's like, are you having a tough time losing weight? It's this thing that you don't know about that, I can sell you a $300 supplement stack on the back end that, again, is doing more damage than any benefit in a lot of people's, lives. But that feels more exciting. That feels like something that's out of my control that I could place the blame on for a lot of people, where tracking is very objective. It's very like, oh yeah, when I go out and we have Super Bowl tonight and I just remotely track my food, it's like, oh, I ate 4,200 fucking calories in a 6-hour stretch tonight. Those are the things that are hard to see. Those are the things that are hard to appreciate. But as soon as we get to that moment, as soon as we can identify how fucking easy it is to overeat in this food landscape that we live in today, that's when we start to see meaningful change and progress happen. But a lot of people prevent themselves from even getting to that spot, which again, just makes me frustrated. I know it makes you frustrated as well. And that's why I think of Lane Norton a lot when I see, his data greater than feelings shirt, because it's very applicable and it's something that, again, objectively speaking, it's the truth, but it's not the truth that people want to hear. It's not a truth that sells very well, but it's likely the truth that most people need to hear before meaningful shit starts to change.
Exactly. I do have some friends who are legitimately good coaches, but they do play into people's feelings like this. And they do it in a, I understand why they do it because they're able to, validate their feelings and then actually give them the information that they need. So it is another tactic. I just personally don't like that. I don't like working with people like that because it's just, I find that it's a waste of everyone's time, and they'll just continue doing this. I've had clients with excuse after excuse after excuse. Some of them are valid. Like I had a client whose mom just suddenly got sick. Sure, that's a completely valid excuse. But like when it's every week, like, oh, sorry, like my weekend just fell apart. Like, okay, but why did you get a coach? Because if you're not going to ask me for help, especially in times like these, when everything is falling apart and you're busy and things are just go, everything's falling apart around you and you don't use the coach, what is the point of having a coach? So I don't like, anything with people's feel. It's not that I'm not empathetic. I don't know how to explain this in a way that's like listeners are going to be like, okay, well, I'm not, this
Yeah,
guy is a
just a
dick.
fucking dickhead.
But
Yeah.
like, I really, when it's appropriate, I'll schedule a call outside of our normal calls, and I'll talk if you need to talk, and one of my clients needs to talk, and things are just wrong. Something's wrong. Like, of course I'm going to help them, but it's more like when you have a million excuses, I don't even believe any of them. So I don't know. I just have to kind of take what people say with a grain of salt because it's always like the sky is falling when really they just didn't do the work. They're the kid that didn't do the homework, and now they're making excuses.
Totally. And I think that statement right there is something that other coaches listening to this podcast can identify with and appreciate the fact that, like, I've been doing this long enough, or I've been working with humans long enough to where some of these things that I'm hearing, maybe again, we take it with a grain of salt, and maybe it's not to the extent of which it likely actually is for that person's experience, which, not to dismiss that person's own personal experience, but again, it's like being able to objectively put that out there and talk about it and move through it. It's like those are the things that you need to be focusing on. And as a coach like yourself, it's like you've seen this record be played time and time and time again. So it's easy to be like pessimistic and just to know, like, hey, I know you're stressing about this, but this is completely irrelevant and this is what we need to be focusing on. I know a lot of coaches can identify with that, but it's hard to take the human interaction out of that sometimes with people who are more empathetic and people who have these kind of like tendencies to just believe everything everyone says. I've been guilty of that at one point, but the longer you do this, the more you appreciate that it's like it's an over-exaggeration or there's likely things that they're not thinking about that are far more important than maybe some of the things that are being expressed right now. But as a client or as somebody who doesn't work with a coach or who isn't working one-on-one with a dietitian or a fitness coach or a personal trainer, it's like I don't want people to listen to this and feel like we're just trying to mansplain to people like how to fucking think about their health and fitness all the time. But I want you to appreciate that there are two sides to the story in that it's not that your things are invalid. It's just that having some awareness around other things and other types of, impacts and confounding variables here are likely the stuff that you can't see for yourself sometimes that are going to be the dictator of like whether you keep progressing or whether you keep showing up or whether you stop or give up, or again, you've had the experience tracking and then you take 10 steps backwards and then you look for something else. It's like, no, how can we keep you sedentary at least in that moment and then keep taking steps forward? And I find for me and things that I can help and you and I can help people is like giving people directions to look in and helping them look at places that maybe they can't think for themselves. And part of that comes with like, what do we track when we do track food? And I'm curious of what you would sit here and say to somebody who has never tracked before. And if you're looking at them and you're like, hey, what are good starting points or what are things that I should do when I do open the Macro Factor or my Fitness Pal? What are some starting points that you would say would be worth your while that maybe wouldn't add a bunch of overwhelm, or maybe it could, maybe that could be beneficial in context, but what would be your, again, your stance on like, hey, where do we start with this stuff? If we've convinced people to actually start tracking food.
Well, you should just start, because if you're not doing anything, you should just do something. And even if it's messy, just do something. But I don't know. It really depends, because I don't like to say, okay, let's just track protein, because sure, we'll track protein, you'll hit your protein, but then you'll eat 4,000 calories. So I don't know if that's appropriate for most people, because if you're going to track something, you may as well track the other two macronutrients anyway. So I always say, like, protein is most important, because nobody's going to overeat protein and get fat. But then I would say, with someone who is just starting, who like really either can't be bothered or just is going to get overwhelmed, distribute carbs and fat however you like. So if you prefer fat and you really don't need that many carbs, let's make your fat higher and your carbs a little lower. If it's the opposite, which most people are, actually, most people like fat and carbs, but lots of people love to overeat carbs because they're easy to eat. So I would give them more carbs and then make fat the lower macronutrient. So you can do whatever you want. There's no rule. It just you need to do something. So whatever's going to be easiest for you and cause the least amount of overwhelm. But I've been this type of client before. Like, if you're not going to listen to your coach, then why do you have a coach? I don't know what to tell you. You need to do something, but I've been that type of client before, so that's why I can be this hard on people, because I know their tricks, I know their excuses. And I was when I was doing bodybuilding, I was never a good bodybuilder. I was never a good competitor. I'm not competitive at all, so I don't even care if I win or lose. I don't know why I was doing it other than for the pictures and for the social media clout. But I was the one that would say, like, yeah, I don't even know I don't know what's going on. I don't know why I'm not losing weight. I knew why I wasn't losing weight. It's because I ate a cake yesterday. So just don't be delusional and don't lie to your coach. Otherwise, just save your money and don't get a coach.
Exactly, dude. I think just start piece is the really big one that I want people to hear. If people have been on the fence, because it's the starting of it that is going to be the thing that even if you have no targets to look at the end of the day, you will start being able to draw connections or to be able to connect some dots, of like, oh, you know what? I didn't realize, that the cake that I ate was 600 calories yesterday. And those are things that you can start to be aware of independent of how much protein you're eating or what your calories are or what your fats and carb ratio is. But I think there's room to expand. And the thing with tracking is you can take it to the nth degree if you want. And some people can kind of sit here and just shoot with a shotgun and just spray everywhere, but just doing some form of documentation can actually lead to some behavior change quickly. So I think it again depends on the spectrum in which a client is at or where the person is at, because you can take it in so many different directions. And I think in a tool that people look at as so rigid, I think there's so many opportunities to be really flexible with it if we want. But there's also opportunity for us to be really meticulous, to really be dialed in, to really weigh our food out, and to be consistent over an 8, 12 week stretch. And how you do that might look different from person to person, but it's the just start piece that I want people to get over the hump, because I find that when you have no attachment to what the numbers are, you type in your, anthropometrics to MyFitnessPal, and it gives you this arbitrary, coaching feedback through the app. One of my biggest things with MyFitnessPal is like, oh, this food is high in fat today. It's like, you have no idea what the fuck, you're talking about. It's just this like algorithm based thing where, anyway, don't get me started, but just not paying attention to that, but paying attention to your effort, what you're eating, what you're doing, and you being able to just actually prove to yourself that you could do this is when you can start actually adding on a lot of these targets and stuff if you're not ready for it already. There's other clients, I don't know about you, but it's like they come to me, they're motivated, they've been tracking for a while, and they just want to turn the knobs up. We can absolutely do that as well, right? Like, those are things that we can actually meet you where you're at. But for a lot of people, when it comes to just getting in the door, just fucking open it, walk in it. You don't have to do anything when you're in the room, but just actually stand in the room. And tracking for me, I think is a, that's a good visual for people just being able to, like, having this paralysis kind of mentality when it comes to tracking. It's like, no, just do it and you'll be able to figure out stuff and make, changes over time as you see fit.
Yeah, and I would compare it to other areas of life. So if you want to start a business, if you want to start on social media, you need to just start something. And it's not going to be right and you're not going to be perfect, but you need that data. It's just data at the end of the day. You need to know what's working so you can do more of what's working and less of what doesn't. And that's the reason why you have to do something. Nobody cares if it's wrong and nobody's going to know. So I think that's just something that you need to do. There was something else that I was going to say. I don't know. I don't remember what we were talking about like directly before that, but I'll think of it.
Yeah.
It's
One of the questions that I had that I feel like we're kind of talking around right now is like, when it comes to turning the knobs up, like what that might look like for somebody. I think part of that is acknowledging that there's going to be inaccuracies with it. I see you just smile so you can say what you want right now. But my question again is going to be like, how can we, if somebody's really wanting to be more intentional, more serious about it, like how can we minimize some of the, inconsistencies, and also having this caveat that like nothing with tracking is ever going to be perfect. We even have studies of dietitians estimating how much calorie or how many calories are in certain things. And, we're 30 to 40% off in certain contexts. It's like people who have been trained in this stuff. So I think that we need to appreciate the fact that this is a very imperfect system, but there's ways that we can improve it and make it more accurate. But what would your kind of like thought process be in terms of like, how do we keep making improvements if somebody chooses to follow through with that?
Well, I mean, yeah, like you said, you're never going to be even remotely correct. So I don't think that it really matters, to be honest. I think it's as long as you improve every so often. Like now I really don't track that often. It's just when I need to. Like when I, I'm not gonna eyeball olive oil. So if I eyeball olive oil, I'll have two servings instead of one. So things like that, or I'm not going to weigh slices of bread. I'm just going to have the slices of bread because I know what's in it. So you kind of just need to pick and choose. If you're someone who's going to get overwhelmed, or you know yourself and you're going to quit after a while if it gets too annoying, pick and choose the most important parts. When you first start, you need to track everything. That's just something that you need to do to learn. Again, compare it to your job. If your boss asks you to learn a new software, you would just do it. I have a side project with a friend of mine, and she was like complaining to me about things, and I was like, "What do you do at work when this thing when these things arise?" And she was like, "Oh, I just deal with it." And I was like, "Okay, well, do more of that, and just deal with it, because you wouldn't do this at work. So why are you doing this to yourself or to your coach? I never understand that. So just." I don't know, just stop being so lazy and learn something so that you don't have to double your work and double the time that it takes to get good at it.
I'm happy we're talking around how it's like we could be bad at this and that's okay and still see progressions. Yeah, I like to tell people if you're consistently bad at tracking, like we can actually use that as helpful feedback. It's like, yeah, maybe you're documenting 1800 calories, maybe it's closer to 2500, not accounting for extra bites, licks, tastes, condiments, cooking oils, like things that maybe we're not accounting for, but Sometimes instead of going to the nth degree and trying to be super meticulous with that, sometimes a person could benefit where it's like, okay, let's reduce that, whatever it is, whatever you're documenting. And people can actually see the same progression of fat loss or whatever it is that they're working towards. Instead of them trying to shoot with a sniper, right? They're still using their same metrics, but they're just doing less or doing things a little bit differently. It's like you can be consistently bad at tracking and still see pretty cool results too at the end of the day. And I think I just want people to appreciate the fact that, again, it's an imperfect system, but it's something that, again, if you aren't aware of any of this, this is when the shit becomes a lot more difficult. And time again, dude, I don't know about you, but like I have somebody who maybe is adverse to tracking or doesn't want to track or had a negative experience. And maybe we do more habit-based coaching and okay, no liquid calories and get, 30 your plate protein source and a palm of carbs or, get this much vegetables and, we're going to take deep breaths before you eat, like all these things. And you list out 10 to 15 action items a day of like what they're doing around their thing or their food and what they're thinking about. And it's like, and all the time we're thinking about doing this shit, like you alluded to earlier, you could have tracked in a quarter in the amount of time and you could have gotten more information based on that to actually, again, make meaningful steps towards some of these things. Not to say the other habit-based stuff isn't important and we absolutely can do that. Like that's what tracking teaches you. It's just, it makes it a little bit more efficient of a process sometimes, but only if people have that buy-in, So I find that sometimes going through that process can make it easier to pitch tracking for a period of time, again, knowing that it's going to be a temporary thing for people. But that's something that we can teach. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't have to be complicated. It actually be more simple than you think. And those are the things that you might find more appreciation in instead of thinking about a laundry list of shit throughout the course of the day.
Yeah, I think, well, actually, no, not that I think. All of my clients who start tracking for the first time, or at least start tracking properly for the first time, they all say, like, wow, this is, because it's a shock. Like, they're like, wow, this is eye-opening because I thought that I was eating so much less. And when you see, like, they're also not tracking properly. So it's even more than that. So if they think that they're eating 1200 calories, I've had big guys tell me that they're eating 1200 calories, and I'm like, no, you're not. You're not even eating double that. So then they track properly and they're like, oh, okay, it's like definitely way more than 3,000 calories and probably even more than that. So the shock is always good at the beginning. So that's also a good motivator for people because they're like, oh, so maybe now if I do things properly, it's actually going to work.
I'm curious how you handle those conversations in one-on-one
Just
coaching
like that.
certain contexts, because like how you present yourself and how you talk on Instagram, people get pick up on that. And it's again, it's what people need to hear. But let's say you have a new client and you have a man or even woman, right? Anybody who's like, yeah, I'm eating X amount of calories per day and I'm not losing weight, or the God forbid, I'm in a deficit, but I never lost weight and didn't work for me, and here I am. Like, what is your response to that? And in addition to your response, what are the conversations or the things that we need to start thinking about or start being a little bit more introspective about that we can actually make meaningful changes playing this like this victim card of like, oh, these things don't work for me and therefore I'm broken kind of mentality that, again, not shaming people for they're in that spot, but what are the things people need to hear when they are in that situation?
Well, on social media, I just give the facts without even caring. When you're paying me as a client, I kind of just treat you like a friend. Like I treat you nicely, like I would like a friend, but I still do tell you the same, like what you need to hear. So I'll be like, listen, I know it hasn't worked in the past, but you are not eating anywhere near what you think. I've never had anybody react badly also. So, they're like, they appreciate that I'm speaking to them like a human, but I'm saying like, you have to stop being delusional like this. I don't say it like that, but I will just say like, you're not eating anywhere near what you think you are. Let's track for the next 2 weeks. You can be completely wrong the first week. Second week, I need you to be better, and then we're going to get better from that from there. But they know that they come to me with problems and like issues that I really don't have that many clients like lying to me because I do call them out on it also. So I don't know. They just know. I think if you're going to pay someone something that's not $100, like it's not a cheap program, and you follow them on social media and you were bought in from the very first call, I really don't think that, that they're gonna be someone who's just going to lie and like completely mess up the program and not do anything. I've had that in the past, but I've been lucky to where I have like pretty good clients to where they actually do what I tell them to, and then they actually get the results.
Totally. Yeah. And I mean, that makes sense. That checks out. And I have the same exact experience too, where it's like when you look at a person like that who has reached out to you and has filled out a questionnaire and who's showed up to the first call and has paid you money and is listening to what you have to say, whether they're implementing that or not, you know, is another thing. But you look at somebody on like, if we think about like the stages of behavior change model, right? And you have people on Instagram, people who are in the comment sections, who are DMing coaches, and those are usually the people who are saying the things where it's like, I didn't lose weight. They have this like mentality or this experience that is keeping them stuck there. And they're like in the pre-contemplation phase or the contemplation phase, right? But then you actually have people who are putting effort in, like those are people in the prep and the actual action phases of what it takes to actually get out of here. And you see that play out a shit ton on social media. And I think that it's hard to sit here and generalize some of these recommendations and statements because it feels like we're talking to so many different people in so many different phases of their life that are open or not open to so many different inputs of information that could be helpful or useful for them. So that's why a lot of these things fall on deaf ears, or you have these other areas of the camps again that exacerbate how difficult this could be for some people, where it's like you have someone like Adam who's objectively telling you the truth, who is not sugarcoating anything, and someone like myself in certain situations. And then you have somebody else where it's like, it's okay. You know, it's okay. I didn't lose weight in a deficit either. My hormones were the problem, or my blood sugar response after meals were the problem, or my, you know, insert literally any arbitrary fucking thing that they're going to end up selling you something on. That sounds, again, very appealing. And those are the messages that, again, keep people stuck, or at worst, make them take steps backwards because they're actually moving farther away from some of the shit that they need to be doing. And again, I find people when they can sit with that statement, when they're sitting here and they're like, I was in a deficit and I didn't lose weight. It's like, okay, that's the start of the conversation. That's not the fucking end of it. You know, that's not something that you can just, you know, accept and then not do anything about it. But again, those are the clients, again, we have the luxury of working with because they've kind of gotten to a point where they've accepted that, or they've heard you talk about that enough to where they're like, all right, something needs to change. And maybe this dude knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, that's also something that never happened. It is physically impossible, physiologically impossible. You would be a scientific anomaly. I know these seem like buzzwords, but they're true. That just simply didn't happen.
Totally. How can we get One of my last questions for you is like, what is your approach? And again, it's going to be depend. Everything we fucking ask here is it's going to be depends. But for people who are afraid of the future with them thinking that they have to track everything all the time, what would be some points of conversation or how we could communicate? Like, why are we using tracking? How long are we using it for? And again, that's subject to change depending on your goals and how quickly we get to places. And again, your willingness to do some of this stuff. So again, it's all going to be a fucking big, it depends fucking soup bucket here. But like, what is the conversation of like, hey, how are we using tracking and when does that end? Or what is the next step? Or what are things that we're trying to learn so that when you eventually remove tracking, we keep doing the things that we need to do? What do you find yourself saying to people who have a fear of, is this a forever thing for me? And is this something that I am going to have to do the rest of my life to maintain those results? I'm curious of like what your experience has been with that with clients, even personal anecdote experience, and how that plays out a lot in your coaching and people that you see and you work with.
Don't worry about it. Why does it matter? Because once you get into shape, you're going to have to work out for the rest of your life anyway, if you want to stay in that kind of shape. So I don't see what 5 minutes of tracking, what difference that makes. So even if I don't know, just prepare to do it till you're 90. I don't know. 5 minutes a day, and eat similar things, and you won't have to do it every day. So I think that's a non-issue. But if you really want to quit one day, then you need to learn what 100 grams of almonds looks like, and how much, like what 100 calories looks like. You need to learn about nutrition. And once you can eyeball that properly and not gain weight, then you can stop. I don't know. It really depends on how fast of a learner you are and how well you can retain the information. I
Yeah.
personally don't mind just tracking.
Yeah, I
I
love
don't
that.
finish the day
I don't
off.
either. You know, like I'll go through phases where maybe I'll not track because I'm just doing the same shit and it's just something that maybe I again, I have the privilege of knowing that, having gone to school. Like, I know you and I situation are different from the average consumer for sure. But one thing we can appreciate is like no one, literally nobody gets a formal nutrition education about anything. And tracking, again, and working with somebody or having some guidance could be the closest thing to that anyone has throughout their lifespan. In tracking, and understanding what you said, 100 grams of almonds look like, and knowing how many calories come with that, and knowing when you guys go out to dinner, you hit up a burger joint at the end of the night. It's like, how does that calorie content differ from what I'm doing at home, or even from the same burger or meal that I could make at home? Because chances are there's a 400 calorie discrepancy sometimes between the two. But it's appreciating and understanding all of these things. And I think whether or not you're tracking, like those things count. So it's helpful to just see that play out, right? And when people can get some appreciation for what trends look like for people when they're just eating to a number at the end of the day and they're only just hyper focused on weighing everything, it's like, yeah, maybe we could be missing the mark and missing an opportunity to actually learn about what we're doing. It's like, what are we learning here? It's like, oh, when I weigh out all this stuff, it's like, okay, when you look at your plate, tell me what you see. It's like, oh, I see a lot of protein. I see a lot of fiber sources. Like, I see a controlled amount of carbs potentially, or, like me restricting myself in certain areas to allow for me to eat more at certain meals. But it's like being able to draw conclusions from the actions that we're doing instead of just somebody sitting here and tracking their macros for the rest of their life. It's like, what are we learning from that? And I want people to appreciate the fact that like it's going to be fucking hard in the beginning. Like it's never easy. No one has an easy experience, but it's not that it just becomes simple over time, but it becomes easier and it becomes more effortless. And again, when you're connecting some of these dots and you're able to appreciate the fact that like, oh yeah, my habits now are me prioritizing a protein source every time I eat, right? Or every time I go out to dinner, like maybe for me, I'm subbing a, heavy carb source with a salad and I'm enjoying some appetizers, or maybe I'm not drinking as much, or maybe I'm ordering the diet soda instead of the regular soda. It's like, those are the things that tracking can teach you, whether or not you're tracking for the long term, that likely stick with people over, the next 1 to 10 years of their life. That again, it just becomes easier. It's not that it just is difficult forever, but you have to kind of go through those growing pains in the beginning to appreciate that.
I also would want to ask people, is it harder to track, or is it harder to like if you continue tracking for the rest of your life and you have the result, is that easier than struggling and like eyeballing and yo-yoing and gaining and losing the same 20 pounds? Which one is harder? I really don't think that that's a valid question to like, when can I stop tracking? Just track. Or don't. I don't know. It's not me, not my life. I don't care. But I really don't think it's that big of a deal. But yeah, I mean, like you wouldn't ask when you can stop maintaining your relationship, or like when you can stop learning at your job. Like you just, I don't know. I don't know why people treat exercise and health this way, where they just want to do as little as possible. But I don't know.
I know. I don't know. It comes for me when I think about this, it's like, especially in the food environment. I mean, you live in Canada, maybe it's a little different. It's probably not a crazy amount different, but like it takes effort to be healthy in today's nutrition landscape, today's environment, today's work environments, like family members, friends, what people are choosing to do. It's like today's a great example in America. We're watching the Super Bowl. I guarantee you, over half, 75% are going to be Doritos ads, Mountain Dew ads, fucking alcohol ads, all the beers, all the alcohols that you can imagine. It's like all things that have calories that are, if we look objectively speaking, are very nutrient poor, that have a lot of energy or in calories associated with them. A lot of things that are very socially acceptable. And not to mention, you have parties where people are gathering around, they're eating all the same shit that they're watching commercials for. It takes fucking effort to do things differently. It takes a lot of intention and effort to actually make decisions that are against the grain these days, because whether you go to your work function or whether you go to your, break room, like there's going to be the pastries, there's going to be all the shit in there. But it's just appreciating how we can navigate through that. And again, tracking, among other things, is a tool that can help you learn how to navigate today's food environment. Because in my opinion, I don't know if it's going to get any easier. I don't think it's going to be. And it's just, we have to be able to appreciate that, like, these are things that are going to exist, but there are actions that we could take to make it easier, or to make more informed decisions, or to be more of a, kind of a routine oriented person, instead of just saying fuck it every day and letting your environment dictate for you. Because Chances are you have somebody that goes 10 years of their life not having a plan, not knowing what macros are, not knowing how much calories they're supposed to eat, compared to somebody who's put the time in and tracks imperfectly, even in that context, but like they've understand how much they need to eat and they understand how these things can fit or not fit into their routine that they've built for themselves. It's like, I am not betting on the person that does not have a plan, that has no idea how much, they should be eating or hasn't put the work in to do that. And again, there's a lot of confounding variables that make this more or less difficult for certain people. I acknowledge that, but it's something that I want people to appreciate, that it is such a good return on your investment tracking, that you avoiding it completely for the rest of your life might be doing you a disservice at the end of the day.
Definitely. I everything's going to be much easier, even though it doesn't seem like that at the beginning. But that's how it is with everything.
Totally, dude. Totally. I got through all my questions. Any last thoughts? Any words of wisdom for anybody, or any last things that we haven't talked about that you feel are pertinent to this conversation, or do you feel like we got everything across?
We covered a lot of stuff. I think
Yep.
that's pretty good for one episode.
Agreed. Yeah. Exceeded my expectations for sure. I appreciate you spending a little bit more time, more than the hour here, but I'm going to be respectful of your time, bro. Just tell people where they can find you. What you got going on, anything on in your corner that you want to plug, please promote it here. I'll obviously post everything in the show notes as well, but just tell people where they can connect with you, man.
Sure. Yeah. On all major platforms, I'm the Fit Adam. So you can just search that up. You'll find me. And that's pretty much all I have to promote. I do online one-on-one coaching. So I mostly, like you, probably do a 70-30, work mostly with men, but I work with women also. General population. I specialize in fat loss. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Dude, yeah, I know you said you've kind of taken a little kind of break, quote unquote, from social media. But even when you do post, and things that you do post are they're pretty spot on. So I highly recommend people following you. I've learned a lot from you, and again, it's just refreshing to see information presented a little bit more abruptly and a little bit more definite than beating around the bush like a lot of people can do these days, dude.
Definitely. Thanks.
Appreciate you, bro. Thank you again for listening to this episode. If you found value and enjoyed it, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media. If you do, make sure you tag me so I can say thanks. Or if you're on iTunes, scrolling down and leaving a 5-star review would be much appreciated. If you ever want to get in touch with me, you can always find me on Instagram at LukeSmithRD. Thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have an amazing rest of your day. I'll see you on the next episode.